Film Vault.
Yeah.
Film Vault.
Welcome, everybody, to Film Vault. Thank you for joining us. That's Anna.
A challenged Film Vault. Challenged. Hey, turn Brian up a little bit.
Please. Do I need to be turned up?
We're limping in this week. Technologically speaking.
Wow, I'm ready to go.
Are you?
You mean technologically?
Technologically, yeah. We're limping in. Mm. I'm hoping that everyone's hearing this without the snap.
It's a patchwork quilt.
Snap, crackles, and pops.
If you people are hearing this, then it's defying all my expectations.
It's defying?
Defying.
Defining. All right, so let's just get straight to it. We got to do a tight hour here. Tight hour.
Okay.
Here on the Film Vault.
Why is that?
Because it's too late for you, sir.
And it's too late
we've
for
already
me?
Spent 45 minutes.
I might as well be messing
around
tomorrow.
Messing around with patch cords and whatnot.
No one cares about that. Well, what are they going to hear us talk about today?
We're going to talk about non-vehicular car chase scenes. Non-vehicular chase scenes.
Chase scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
Not involving a car.
Not involving a car is what Brian just said before
That's
the
right.
mouse died.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into that in a second. I'm all off because I don't have headphones. The things are being stripped away.
This no one cares, like, you said.
This is like Apollo 13 re-entering re-entering the atmosphere.
Really,
like things
not.
Are slowly being stripped away from the re-entry craft.
No. Nothing like that.
We're hoping to survive.
Mm-hmm. So. Let's get right to it, because if there's anything good, oh, I just heard a crackle. If there's anything good about this here, this episode,
yeah,
it's going to be in the Flick Fashion.
Oh!
Actually, I shouldn't say that. I don't know what, I can't speak for you mm-hmm. or the listeners,
yep.
but this is one of these frustrating ones, this, the non-traditional, non-car chase scenes.
This was your idea.
Yeah, I know. But there's so many, and I feel like
so many.
This is going to be the one where, like, you know, a couple weeks from now, I'm still going to be like beating myself up in the car, going, "Oh, there's that one, and there's that one."
That's how it was for me last week.
God
top,
damn it!
Top five injuries. We had a lot of a lot of contributions, a lot of posts on the comment section of AndersonandBryan.com. Many people let us know ones that we missed, ones that didn't come up. Lieutenant Dan was an obvious one that no one mentioned.
No, I'm happy that Lieutenant Dan wasn't involved.
Well, it's a pretty notable
the
injury.
The best thing about that
history.
Was that Gary Sinise was only partial.
What do you mean?
We didn't have to see all of him.
Oh, you didn't get the full Sinise?
Part of him was missing from the screen.
You got mini Sinise?
Yes. All right, let's do this.
Let's confess the flicks we've seen in the past week. Anderson?
Yeah.
I saw three.
That's kind of the rules.
Oscar-nominated films.
Mm.
Catching up. You thirsty?
I'm thirsty.
Well, I'll see if you can quench that. You want to go
week.
First or should I go first?
Go ahead, bro.
I'll go first.
Jesus Christ.
First. The
I want to punch you right in your scrotum.
First. The favorite, the betting favorite, if you will, to win best animated feature, How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Oh, you finally saw
How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Great movie.
Written and directed by, I disagree, Dean DuBois.
Ugh, you're such
starring Jay Baruchel, voices of Jay Baruchel, Kate Blanchett, Gerard Butler, as I know him, Jerry, Craig Ferguson, America Ferrara, Christopher Mintz-Plasse, Jonah Hill, TJ Miller, Kristen Wiig, Digimon Hinsu. Okay.
That's not wax poetic about this movie.
No, quite the opposite. There's not much to say about this movie.
Most people have seen it.
This is sort of a very...
You've seen the first one?
Actually, no. I know, I could barely follow this one.
How do you do that? How could anyone watch a sequel and they've never seen the first one?
I thought about that.
Didn't that bother you at all?
It did bother me a little bit. I really thought to myself, I really want to see all the Oscar movies this year, and this goddamn sequel is nominated, and I have to see the first one? Mm. I determined I didn't have to see the first one.
We were missing out. The first one was great.
I imagine the first one's got to be better.
They're both very good, Brian. What's wrong with you?
The second one's okay. This is an okay movie. This is a above average movie.
Logan.
It's technically, I can't hear Logan.
You haven't seen, well, he's going to speak with me here for a second.
I haven't seen either of them.
How to Beat Your Dragon? No.
Okay. It's okay, but the fact that this won the Golden Globe and is somehow now the favorite to win the Oscar
it's
is.
Great movie. It gets into heavy, heavy stuff, too. About death.
Dying. Have you seen the other Oscar nominated animated films?
I've seen a couple.
What have you seen?
Big Hero.
You saw Big Hero 6?
All six of them. Yeah.
Did you have to see the first five to understand number six?
Brian, there was only one?
Sorry.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
Was it better than this one?
No. I like How to Train Your Dragon more.
Really?
I mean, neither one of them touched Lego movies, so it's just a fucked category. Okay?
That's true, actually. It's okay, I guess. Picks up a little bit in the third act. This is not a movie anyone over the age of 8 needs to see.
That's not true. It's a fantastic little fun film.
It is a little fun film, but I would not call it fantastic. I would call it above average. I would call this a movie that if your kid's watching it over and over again, you will not be tortured.
if this was a Pixar movie, I don't think we'd be like, wow, Pixar's really hit the skids, really in the dumps. What best days have passed them. I mean, this would fit in to a Pixar film.
This would be a severe letdown if this is a Pixar movie.
I disagree. I don't know what I don't know what's wrong. Was it the chemo? Were you on chemo when you were?
I may have been getting a chemo infusion.
All right, I saw an Oscar film, Brian. Mm-hmm. That's been in theaters for a little while now. It's up for Best Actress.
Okay,
Marianne Cotillard.
Marianne Cotillard.
Cotillard. It's a French film directed by a couple French fucks.
Shit.
And
a couple French fucks.
It's all handheld. I mean, it smells like Sundance. You know what I mean? It's just all handheld. It opens up with her crying,
like weed,
crying in
snow.
Crying in her bedroom. Mm. Saying that she mustn't cry. She gets up. She takes
talking
a pill.
Talking to herself?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Takes a pill later. You learn that it's Xanax later. Okay. Constantly popping pills. It's actually an interesting premise. So here's the premise. She finds out that they take a vote at her job. There's like 16 of them that all work
for some. What's the name of the film again?
2 days, one night.
Okay.
Did I even say
that
ever?
I said that, actually.
I don't think I ever said 2 days, one night.
Two days, one night. Starring Marion Cotillard.
Yeah, she's up for Best Actress. All right, the entire film is about her finding out that she has been voted out, like almost like a real-life survivor. Okay, her boss, worst boss ever, he just doesn't know how to manage people. He let it be known that all like 16 of her coworkers got to decide. They got to make a vote. Either they all get $1,000 bonus, right? And they let her go, or they keep her, no bonus. And they did a vote.
Wow.
And she found out that she was out. So
what,
the next...
What kind of job is it?
It's like construction. They don't really go into that. So she lost her job on a vote. She spends the next 80 minutes going, or, you know, two days, one night, going to all these people individually and begging and pleading with them that they changed their mind. She got another vote to happen the following Monday, and she, because there were some shenanigans that went on, and the whole film.
So it's kind of like a French 12 Angry Men.
No, nothing like that. There's no debate, or she's just going with her sob story one by one.
But you can understand how.
Yeah, I could see how you would say that, Brian. But there's 16 of them, and she's going to see them individually. It's not like they're all debating together. Okay. Interesting premise. I would not go about making it this way. Now, the film is trained, the camera's trained on her. Not only are we with her the entire movie, another one of these restricted narratives that I talk about now and again.
I think you're using the term wrong, but okay.
I am not using the term wrong. What, have you ever looked it up, you cunt? You smug cunt? Have you?
Keep going.
Camera's trained on her most of the time. Not only are we with her, but we're watching her. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, she'll be standing next to somebody else. There's very little give and take. It's usually on her.
Right.
Any other, you know, obviously they needed a tour de force from her, and I think they got it. Great, great performance by her, but she's not a real likable person. In fact, she's kind of sniveling, and I didn't really care if she got her goddamn job. You know what? People lose their jobs. Get over it.
It happens.
How embarrassing. Go beg and plead for your job from everybody.
Have some dignity, for God's sake.
Interesting, though, like, you know, ultra realism as far as the filmmaking goes. Like, there's no movie theater parking in this movie.
What does that mean? Movie theater parking?
Yeah, like, you see movies, and it's like, people go to, like, you know, drugstore or something, they always pull up right in front. Right in front.
Oh, I see what you're
saying. Like, the production will actually paint red curbs white so that cars can, that the characters can just right. No, she'll park somewhere far away, and we'll walk with her all the way.
Wow.
Brian, all the way. And watch. And it's an ordeal. It's one of these ordeal
Next
films.
Episode, top five long walks to cars.
Interesting sense.
Fargo.
Like, if this happened to a friend of mine and I was in the room and I was watching, you know, my friend call up these people, I'd be like, ah, it's kind of interesting. I'm actually living this and watching this happen. But I would never think, oh, I'm going to write a script about this and then I'm going to produce it. And I'm going to
see it through and do, take notes. And
you get to watch her straighten up a child's room for what seems like an eternity. Yeah. It'd be one thing if I really cared about this bitch, but I never did.
Right.
Especially because she pulls some mid-movie shenanigans. You're just like, oh, what a horrible bitch you are. Really selfish bitch. But, you can miss it. 2 days, one night.
Okay.
French film.
I plan on missing it.
Brian might be reviewing it soon if I win a goddamn bet sometime.
You're going to sign that to me?
I might.
All the films I haven't seen. How to Train Your Dragon 1.
It was interesting to watch. It's an interesting premise. And you know, you're really... To have to go through that and figure out, like, what are you worth and what are the other people, you know, 1,000 euros, about $2,000 American?
Yeah, really? 1,800 bucks.
2 days, one night.
Well, some people might be worth
it. I really wish she wasn't up for Best Actress, because I would have never seen this fucker.
And you would have been just as well off.
Would have been a better person.
Probably. A better person.
Better person for it. Not seen it. Yeah.
Okay. I saw a film.
2 days, one night.
Saw a film nominated for Best Animated Feature. Much better than How to Train Your Dragon 2. Anderson, have you seen The Box Trolls?
No,
you have not seen Box Trolls.
I didn't like their ad campaign.
I wasn't aware this movie existed.
Their ad campaign was them showing them putting together the little trolls with the claymation and whatnot. I didn't like to see the human hand. Didn't want to see the human touch.
That's an odd ad campaign.
I know.
I did not see that. I saw the film. I saw Box Trolls. Hold on a second. I wrote this all down here on my trusty phone because I just saw it tonight.
You don't know if you need to yell the tonight part.
Box Trolls is directed by Graham Annable.
It doesn't matter.
And Anthony Stocchi.
I've learned something.
It is starring the voices of Isaac Hempstead Wright.
Is it someone
Elle
I know?
Elle Fanning. Ben Kingsley's fantastic. Toni Collette, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, and Tracy Morgan. Unfortunately, the only part of the movie I didn't enjoy, I really enjoyed this movie. The only part I didn't like was Tracy Morgan, because this movie said, okay, Anderson, here's the story. It's a really wonderful, like, fantasy kids story. Like, it's set in 1800s England. Everyone's very British. And they live in Cheesebridge. And cheese is apparently very important to these people. They love cheese. All the aristocrats eat cheese, and they devour cheese. And
did it make you want cheese while you're watching it?
A little bit. Okay.
Should I get,
could have had some cheese.
Like a cheese platter and watch this.
And there's the town is also invaded by trolls. Trolls at night that come out and they steal things. They take little trinkets.
They go
the trash. No, the trolls they have, instead of clothes, you know, like a homeless guy would wear a barrel in the old days.
They have boxes.
They have boxes.
Yes, I've seen the trailers.
Well, I'm explaining to our listeners.
How did you not know this exists?
I'm explaining to our listeners. I didn't know they went the box trolls before the Oscars
That's
came
weird.
Out.
Weird.
Yeah,
it's very strange.
And so they go around and steal things. And this one guy, Ben Kingsley's character, is like, I will get all the trolls. I'll get them off the streets if you let me into your cheese club and let me wear a white hat. And they're like, all right, well, then you will be able to be a cheese man. And the only part of the movie I didn't like was Tracy Morgan. Sadly, Tracy Morgan is great, but he's always Tracy Morgan. Everyone in this movie is super British. They're super British from the 1800s. They're like Cockney, and it's a little much, but that's the movie. And Tracy Morgan is Tracy fucking Morgan. It'd be like casting Jackie Chan or like Danny McBride. Like, that person is always that person. They can't help but be that person. A minor point of the film.
Was he a box troll or was he a rich cheese man?
He was no, he was neither. He was a henchman. He was a henchman of Ben Kingsley's character, helping to catch.
This is black muscle.
Actually, he was white. That was the weird part.
Was he like a thug white?
No, he was shaped like a bowling ball. He was a little round white man. And to be coming out, for Tracy Morgan's voice to be coming out of him, very strange.
Did he threaten to get anyone pregnant?
No, he was single-mindedly going after trolls.
I saw a film.
No, right. I'm still talking about Box Trolls.
No, we're done with the Box Trolls.
No, we're not trolls. You're going to see fucking Box Trolls. It's great. You're going to love it. You're going to love Box Trolls.
I feel like you're done with the Box Trolls. Okay, so I was
ironically, the trolls are delightful. It's all the humans who are grotesque and horrible, and they've got cheese in their maws. They're just oozing cheese out of their mouths. It's really good claymation, actually. The animation's really well done. 75% Rotten Tomatoes, which is odd, because this is a far superior movie to How to Train Your Dragon 2.
I doubt that.
It is somehow in the distance. I think it's like pulling up the rear in terms of like Oscar odds
Do you think you might be wrong here, Brian?
Wrong for what?
About your thinking that one movie's better than the other. Do you think you might just be off?
There's no chance I'm wrong. Wait, are you looking it up?
I'm going to see what IMDb says.
No, please.
Please.
Actually, Box Trolls might be a movie that IMDb loves.
8.0 for How to Train Your Dragon 2. That's 8.0. It's very high.
It's very high.
Very, very high.
I really enjoyed Box Trolls. And
let's see what old Box Trolls
It's on video, and I feel like a lot of people should see it,
Box
and I hope you see it.
Box Trolls... What's that?
I said a lot of people should see it.
I want to see it. I meant to see it. I wanted to see that and the Guillermo del Toro Heart movie, but Day of the Dead.
The Dia de los Muertos. Yeah, shit, I forget the name.
But about Heart.
Yes.
All right. And Box Trolls at the old Sexual 6-9.
6-9?
Yeah. So I think, Brian, you're a little off here.
No, I enjoyed this movie very much.
How to Train Your Dragon, fantastic. Now, I was assigned a film, which is up for Best Documentary. It's called Finding Vivian Mayer. Finding Vivian Mayer.
Mayer.
Depends on which one.
Who you talk to.
Now, here's a story. She, there's a filmmaker who
I told the whole story last week.
Okay, I'm not going to go into it then. It's about finding an artist's work post-mortem.
Posthumously.
And she's essentially a woman on the autism spectrum, perhaps Asperger's.
For sure, hoarder.
Spent a lot of time in the Chicago area in the 50s and 60s, 70s, taking lots of pictures.
She may have been getting French. She may not have been.
Getting in people's faces and taking these pictures, and she had an eye. She was a very talented photographer, and she hoarded all of her photographs as well as everything else, and then they're discovered soon after she dies. She made her living as a nanny, and she. I was worried that they're going to, you know, build her up. They built her up quite a bit the first two thirds, and it kind of comes crumbling down towards the last act where
a bunch of people coming out talking
about how horrible she actually was, and what a terrible person she was, and how cruel she was, and actually, that one fat bitch, I didn't believe a word she said. There was a one fat bitch that was talking about how she, I forget what she was accusing her of almost sexual molesting her.
No, it's actually like
beating her and making her eat all her food.
Exactly. And the way she like treated her and like fed her and stuff.
She was a very odd character.
Like I said, it was warts and all. You saw the best and worst parts of Vivian Maier.
If I really liked this movie, if this movie for it to really work, I would be like really wanting more of Vivian Maier. You know, I would want to like see, go back and like find her and like know more about her and wish that I could have like spent a day with her. You know, I didn't get that at all. She was annoying. I didn't really like her much. She looked like Damien Echols.
True.
Damien Echols.
That's right. From Memphis.
From the West Memphis 3. The leader of those West Memphis 3.
The one who killed all his kids.
The one that killed the kids.
That's right.
No, she looked a lot like Damien Echols' mom, like she could be. But it was an interesting film. I can't, you know, it just must be a weak year for the old documentaries because neither of the two documentaries that I've seen nominated. Neither one. Mm. The other one, Virunga. All right. So, yeah, Finding Vivian Maier.
I like Finding Vivian Maier for
if
what
it's
it was.
Dreaming in the near future for free, give it a shot. I wouldn't recommend buying it like I did.
You didn't send away for it?
No, I don't do discs. I told you, Brian, I live in the future with you.
Speaking of documentaries, speaking of Oscar nominated documentaries, I saw one.
Oh, shit. This is probably what I'm going to have to see this week.
Citizen Four.
Any good?
Why are you grimacing?
I have a terrible feeling like this isn't recording.
No, I have the same feeling. I have a feeling this is going to be unlistenable because some popping or some cracking. Mm-hmm. Logan, how's the audio?
He doesn't know. It's not recording.
I have no idea to check what's actually being recorded.
I'm recording it in the back of this building. It's being rerouted to the far back reaches of this building.
And we can't. There's popping and cracking.
We can't monitor. We don't even know. Anyways, go ahead with your goddamn Citizen 4.
Citizen 4.
All four of them.
You have to see Citizen 1 through 3 to understand what's going on in this one.
That's a hilarious joke.
I just thought of that. Spot.
Wow, Brian.
Not in my notes. Look.
How many years of improv classes did you take?
Not in my notes.
Uh-huh. How would I know that it's not on your notes? You crumpling paper does not tell me that it's not on your notes.
High five.
That's not me high-fiving. All right, go. Tell me about the Citizen 4.
Citizen 4 is directed by Laura Poitras.
Doesn't matter.
I feel like I should attribute the director of an Oscar-nominated film. This is the frontrunner for Best Documentary Feature. It's about -160, so it is the favorite.
All right, I was looking.
Over Virunga, which is fucking crazy because Virunga, not that good.
Virunga, it was trying. It was certainly trying. So manufactured at the end.
So this is about Edward Snowden and the leak of all the information about the NSA, spying on Americans, listening in phone calls, data, internet, all sorts of stuff. So like any good documentary, you remember that a couple years ago? It wasn't even a couple years ago. It was
of course.
Maybe slightly.
Hey, what happened to the guy that was in Russia? Is that him?
That's him. That's Edward Snowden.
Is he still living in the airport?
Well, you have to watch the documentary to find out. He was there for 40 days. I mean, or is he?
Brian.
He was there for 40 days.
He's ruined the entire movie for me and everyone else?
No, that's a very, very small part of the movie. So, okay, Anderson, any good documentary, like many good documentaries, this sort of presents an issue that has, I think, two compelling sides to it. Like, on the one hand, I don't know, please pay attention. I'm actually trying to.
I am listening on the one hand.
I'm attempting to engage you in debate. Not debate, but discussion. On the one hand, obviously, you want to preserve, you know, civil liberties, freedoms, rights, privacy, all those things. That's obviously very important. On the other hand, I must admit that, you know, when I know that there are people out there who want to do harm to the United States and people who live here, and they will literally stop at nothing and look for every advantage and every way to accomplish this goal.
Yeah, but dude,
I want the people protected. I think has to look for every advantage.
The Illuminati
and every way to stop them.
Funds them so that they have an excuse to be Big Brother. It's all mindfuck, man.
Oh, fuck it then.
Illuminati is paying ISIS to be a threat so that they have an excuse to spy on us, and they can hear me talk to my mom about where we're going to dinner.
Now I know this isn't recording.
You know what I mean?
And the worst good is dead.
Mm-hmm. It's a slippery slope, right?
It is. This is a good movie, though, because it presents a debate that is worthy of having, and gets so the reason that I think this is getting such incredible attention is because it releases the big favorites when the Oscar Anderson is because it has incredible access to Edward Snowden. This is basically it's a really unique historical documentary because it literally has it's in the hotel room with him and the two reporters he was talking to while he gives out all the information. This is while they're writing their stories, the stories that broke about him and all the secrets from the NSA. This is documenting that. It's the story, the camera's in there as he's giving his interviews.
Cool.
It is cool in that respect. The movie might be a little in love with its access, a little in love with the fact that it can get so close and get this kind of stuff because it does get bogged down in the details. It's 2 hours long. Christy watched it with me, and what'd she call it? She called it laborious. I would call it...
No more quotes from Christy.
Dense or in Excel. Well, she represents much more of the common...
You know what?
Goer.
When you're on your podcast, Sir Brian, will you please let the listener know that I find this film laborious?
She did not say that.
Will you please pass it on to the listener that I find the film laborious?
We're watching a particularly long scene of just staring at Snowden.
Yeah, 114 minutes seems too long for this.
Yeah, it's... And they don't spoon feed you, man. They make you work for what you want to know because there's a scene where they basically lay out the argument against what the NSA is doing, but the guy who lays it out very passionately does so in Portuguese, and you have to read it subtitles as he's doing, and it just kind of takes something away from it.
You don't like to read, you.
If there's something going to make an impassioned speech, you got to figure there's better ways to do it.
Here comes the best thing. Here comes the best one.
There's some great moments, though. The access is great.
All right. Citizen 4. Check that one. Done. Fantastic. Let's move on.
The only thing that's missing is the historical perspective. You wonder, is this going to be this moment? Is it going to be something that changed the world? Is it going to be something that lasts for decades and years and centuries? Or just another story? I mean, have we already forgotten about Edward Snowden? Do people talk about him anymore?
Is he still in that airport?
You got to find out.
Here we go. I saw a film.
One more thing. I'm done.
Going to get a limited release in a couple weeks here. I think end of February. I was invited to a screening.
Jesus.
A lot of the time I will say, no, thank you. I do not wish to see that that film that you are inviting me to come see with with Kevin
Eubanks.
Cousteau.
Oh.
What's his name?
Smith.
Wow. What's it? I turned down
Pollock.
But this one, Spacey. As soon as I heard Cronenberg, I'm like, you have me at David. Hmm. David Cronenberg, new film. I did not see his last one. But we all know David Cronenberg.
Of course.
This is when you talk about the director, if you can, you know, discuss some of their previous films. He did The Fly,
yes,
of course.
He did
Scanners, of course. Holy shit, Scanners.
I've never seen Scanners.
Oh, Scanners. One day, Bri. Okay. One day. Heads exploding.
God willing.
Young little Anderson in the theater being very concerned with... Oh, Jesus Christ, Dad. Why would you do that to me? Anyways, Cronenberg. Did not see his last one, Cosmopolis. I heard too many bad things about it. But this one, after seeing Maps to the Stars... Now
I
want to go
back. Oh, this is the one where they sell. Yeah. Okay. Tell me.
You know something about Maps to the Stars?
I saw a trailer for this.
I think it was at
months ago.
I think it was at Cannes.
Did it get pushed back? I feel like I saw this when I was looking for like ones for like winter preview.
Could be. It could be. I wish this came out. I wish more people. I want people to see this because this is a good one. This is a fun one. Now I didn't write any notes. I didn't come up with any notes here, but I can tell you real quick.
Tell the story.
Give me the story.
Give me a brief.
Written by a guy named Bruce Wagner, who is best known for writing Freddy Krueger, the third Freddy Krueger movie.
Okay.
Third Nightmare on Elm Street.
The third.
Yeah. Yeah, that's his biggest credit.
Warriors?
This man is a bitter, angry man. Does not like Hollywood. Does not like the main players in Hollywood. You could tell that if you watch this film that he wrote. David Cronenberg, he's a rare breed. He believes, from things that I've read... this is a grotesque movie.
Okay.
The characters are grotesque. There's one main family, and then there's other characters, but it's, you know, Hollywood, so it's all small towns, so everything overlaps, all right? So John Cusack is married to what's her name? What's this lady's name? Olivia Williams, okay? And they have a son, played by a kid named Evan Bird. He is one of the greatest little pricks you're ever going to see. Opens up, and you get to see what a horrible little prick he is. He's a star. He starred in this childhood movie called The Babysitter. He was the babysitter, bad babysitter. And he's a star. He makes millions of dollars. Pretty much like a Macaulay Culkin, but like modern day. And he just has that look of a little star. And but he's a teenager now. And he's awesome. Shades of like, not have I seen such a horrible little memorable prick since storytelling. I don't know if you ever saw that Todd Solondz movie. This feels like a Todd Solondz movie.
News who maybe is another remember from the movie Disconnect, the little a-hole.
Yeah.
He's a bad kid.
Little shit. Yeah. Yep. But Evan Bird was perfect. He plays Benji, right? And it opens up, and he's going in to visit this little girl who's got non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in the hospital. That's what, you know, stars do. Yep. And he's there with his agent, and they get into, like, he walks out, and he didn't know that he thought she had AIDS, and then he just chews out his agent, who's, like, you know, a 50-year-old man.
Yeah.
And you get to see who that character
is. How old
is
the kid
now? He's probably, like, 12, 13, maybe 14. Oh, he's awesome. He's so great. And then his dad's John Cusack, who does, like, this yoga therapy.
Okay.
And his main client, who we see a lot, is this actress played by Julianne Moore. And holy shit, she is one of the most despicable, grotesque characters I've ever seen on film. And she is so great. Usually in every role, she's so likable and she's so fantastic. She's Julianne Moore and she pulls it off. She's got, like, collagen lips and she's playing, like, a really distorted, bad version of Lindsay Lohan in 20 years, I think.
Wow.
And she's this washed up actress who's chasing her mother's dreams. Like, her mother, you find, like, I don't want to get too much into it, but the stars in Hollywood and fire is the theme that's constantly coming and going. And there's this other element that has to do with, like, the dead and ghosts, which I really wish it wasn't in there. I wish it was just a straight punch to your face portrait of how David Cronenberg sees Hollywood. And he's an insider, but he works from the outside as well.
He's Canadian, right?
He's a Canadian filmmaker. And you get the idea that David Cronenberg's a little crazy, and this is how he really sees
Crash?
Hollywood. I saw Crash. Yeah, people that get off on car crashes. Hmm. Now, I didn't even mention one of my favorite characters in the whole movie, Mia Wasikowska. Plays Agatha Weiss. She's this mysterious woman. Girl, you know Mia. She was... I saw her in Tracks most recently, but she was also in a movie that neither one of us saw.
Okay.
What was that? Yep. Come on.
Between us, there's not many movies you haven't seen.
Right. She's most known for Alice in Wonderland. She played Alice.
Oh, okay. Right? Okay. Yeah.
She was in Jane. She was The Kids Are All Right. She was Laser's sister.
Yes.
Okay. So she's great. She's fantastic. She was in Tracks this year. She plays this crazy bitch who comes flying in from Jupiter. Anyways, she immediately meets Robert Pattinson. I've seen two Robert Pattinson movies now.
In a row.
He plays a limo driver to the stars, but mostly he just drives around like the agents, coked up agents and directors, so he says. But you get to see Julianne Moore play one of the creepiest, most grotesque women.
I wonder if they...
She's so good.
It makes sense to me now. I wonder if they pushed this because still Alice was getting so much incredible
perhaps
buzz.
I don't,
you want to kind of set, you don't want it to get washed in the undertow, kind of, you know, she's getting a lot of attention for
let's
the Oscars.
Let's see, like, yeah, maybe. And if she is,
and also
if
this comes out around the Oscars, you get even more, you get a little bit of love. Like, Julianne Moore's in a new movie.
Come out the end of February. So
Oscars are for the 24th.
It's, I really enjoyed it, but it's a little nugget that's never going to leave my brain. It's one of these movies that sticks with me forever, which, you know me, like, that's one of the main caveats to me wanting to see a movie, is that it sticks with me. And it gets uncomfortable at times. It gets hard to watch at times. John Cusack is great. So I was saying he's a therapist / yoga instructor, and he does all this yoga therapy, mainly with Julianne Moore. And she's going after this part. Her mother died in a house fire, but she was a star. Right. And Julianne Moore, 20, 30 years later, wants to do a remake of the one movie that her mom was really famous for and won an award for. She wants to remake that movie and star in the actual role that her mom was in, constantly chasing in her mom's dream, her mom's ghost, literally, and, you know, competing with her mom, which you see a lot of in Hollywood with moms and daughters competing. And Julianne, she just plays this, like, very amateurish, little bratty actress bitch who's like, everything's so hard for her. Just everyone's so despicable and awful, and I love it.
I'll check it out.
Maps to the stars. Maps
coming up next. Is the music playing?
It is.
Is anyone listening?
I'm hearing some pops and crackles too.
Oh boy.
Yeah, enjoy that.
That's not you. Coming up next, top 5 chase scenes not involving cars.
He's got a rhythm and a beat to his look. Makes a lot of friendships that don't mean much. Goes out saying you should take a look at my latest run.
Anderson,
yeah.
You hear all that clicking?
Oh, Brian.
That's people clicking through on our AndersonandBrian.com.
Is that what it is?
To Amazon.
Snap, crackle, and pop. Sorry, guys. We're having, like we said before the episode, earlier in the episode, that we were having technical issues.
This is Apollo 13. We're re-entering the atmosphere.
Oh, and it's loud. And it's crackly. So, anyways, bear with us here as we crackle our way through this. But what did some people click through there?
Well, of course, people purchased. Someone got Neapolitan ice cream, astronaut ice cream, mm-hmm. which I don't know why, but
it's fitting for the re-entry.
That's true. And also, someone doubled down and got NASA logos iron-on patches.
Mm.
So they're going to iron on some patches and have some astronaut ice cream, I guess, pretend like they're the real deal.
Yeah.
Also purchased a combination harness and booster seat for your car.
You dropped out with the harness. So
harness
it sounded like you said
and booster seat okay. for the car. A Fujifilm 16-megapixel digital camera. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Snap, crackle. Oh, Anderson, do you know your blood type?
No, I don't.
So you can get a home blood type right. test kit.
Right.
Someone got one of those. I don't know mine either. So apparently you can get your
How
own.
Do you not know yours with all your health stuff?
I've never looked into it. I never got the reports. I get blood drawn every few weeks and I never get the reports. Somebody got, or if I do, I don't look at them. Somebody got, I assume this is the same person who got anal beads,
uh-huh.
a filler up butt plug,
well,
3-piece set, by the way, in purple, and the 7-inch dildo with suction cup.
Mm-hmm. Only 7 inches.
Stick that on the wall.
Only 7. Yeah, that's what girls like to do. They put it like in the end of their bed or the wall, and then they just rock
the
back
floor.
And forth. I've seen videos. Yeah.
Right. Do squats.
You know, they go like this, and then it feels good, and then they go back, and then you go like this. And then it's like.
I hope that person was the person who bought a Fitbit.
Like,
someone got a Fitbit.
Like, I don't need a man at all. I don't need a man at all.
Get that drop. Someone also got a Philips Sonicare rechargeable toothbrush.
Oh, that's the same thing.
That's true, actually. And so we'll do the same thing. An electric tiller. Someone's going to do some yard work. A George Foreman grill. Who do they still made those?
Electric tiller. I want an electric tiller.
Yeah.
All the yard stuff is becoming electric. Like you get electric leaf blowers.
That's right.
Goddamn.
Not gas anymore.
Goddamn gardeners. In my neighborhood, need to learn about these. Because it's really loud, the gas ones. Very loud. They should all use electric.
and stinky, too. The gas is awful.
I don't mind that.
It smells of gas.
Okay.
It smells gasoline.
I don't notice that.
Exhaust.
All right.
Someone got a wine pump and stoppers. You know, when you only drink half a bottle of wine, you got to get the air out of there.
No, I didn't realize you had to do that. I'm not a whiny.
Yeah, you put a plastic stopper on there, rubber stopper.
It creates a vacuum.
Yeah, it's reverse vacuum.
All right.
Second, what it is. Everyone's got to get a shredder. Someone got a 6-sheet cross cut shredder. Get a shredder, people.
I feel like this is going on longer than normal.
Tax, TurboTax. It's tax time, so shred your documents after you're done with them. And actually, got to save them for 7 years. But after that, shred them and use your TurboTax software that someone bought. Ghost pepper nuts. Oh, good luck, buddy.
Jesus.
And somebody got, didn't even get this, a live butterfly garden. 3 of them.
What?
It's live butterflies. Sort of like the movie Exotica.
Do you like keep it in a little atrium in your house?
Yeah.
I want a live
butterfly. Put it by the sunlight.
And then there's actual butterflies?
Yeah, they come as larvae. They come as like caterpillars, and you see the whole process.
Well, do they get to fly and be free? Or are they just
if you'd like to set them free, you probably should.
Here are the films that were clicked through. This is the last time we saw you. Finding Vivian Meyer. That's another weird thing about her. She was always changing her name.
Yeah.
Some people are like,
no,
you never ever call her Vivian. No, it must be Miss Meyer. Other people are like, no, she demanded that we call her Viv.
Yep.
Very odd. Gone Girl was clicked through. John Wick was clicked through. John Wick, a lot of people like that John Wick. It was all right. It was better than you'd expect.
It was better than it needed to be, for sure.
Little Jurassic Park was clicked through. Oh, I'm jealous of this one, Brian. No, a documentary was clicked through.
Oh,
a documentary. Yeah, about Doc Ellis. I need to see that, damn it. Soon. Very soon. Sometime this month. The Babadook was clicked through.
Hey, Logan.
A Serious Man was clicked through. Beauty and the Beast. Captain America. The Winter. So why am I saying that?
I don't know.
Dazed and Confused. Die Hard. Frank was clicked through. A lot of mixed reviews with the Frank. I still get people come to me like, my little sister just tonight. She's like, I watched Frank. I don't really see what you see in it.
Mm.
I said, fuck you. Groundhog Day was clicked through. Harold and Maude, I Am Legend, Inglourious Bastards, Platoon, Risky Business, and The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug. It seems like every single week somebody gets that Desolation of Smaug.
It's going to be a $1 billion movie for all.
Blu-ray and DVD. They actually bought it on the Blu-ray. I don't think I'm ever going to see The Final Hobbit, which is kind of, I feel weird because I've invested so, I've seen all three loaders. I've seen the other two, or has it been two or three Hobbits? I've seen them all.
Three. Because there were two, and then the third one was broken.
That's like almost a full 24 hours of my life has been spent watching these goddamn things in that universe, and I don't think I'm going to end it.
I never saw any of the Hobbits.
I know you didn't, because you don't watch movies.
I don't like movies.
Yeah. Anyways, thanks for clicking through, guys.
Thanks, guys. Sorry for the clicking, but thanks for including your clicking.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. That's the show. Well, he's an educated man. Watch out. Brian.
Yeah, buddy.
I've taken it to new levels.
What's that? Your life?
My cooking.
Good for you.
My cooking.
Your cooking.
Because of Blue Apron. I'm hooked. I'm seriously hooked on cooking. I'm not feeding you a line. I bought myself a wok.
That's amazing.
I bought myself a big block.
Yourself equipment.
Here Blue Apron.
Blue Apron. Use all this stuff with your Blue Apron. If you don't have all the fancy home equipment, Blue Apron will make you feel like a fancy chef.
It's true.
All the meals, check them out. You've heard us talk about them. 500 to 700 calories a serving, $9.99 a meal. But the stuff is good, and that's no joke.
Don't say it like that.
And by the way, I'm looking at the menu for this week. I'm legitimately excited for pan-roasted salmon ramen. I love ramen. I love noodles. I love Asian noodles, and I love ramen.
Chicken Charlemagne with roasted parsnip potato mash is what I made last week.
You made that last week?
I made chicken Charlemagne.
How was that?
I walked around just my house, just telling whoever would listen, mainly the dogs and not my wife, saying, I made this chicken Charlemagne. Check it out. I felt very proud of myself.
It was very impressive.
Called my mom. I'm like, hey, mom, I just made some chicken Charlemagne. Gotta go. Hung up.
Don't just take our words for it. Check out your first two meals free. If you go to blueapron.com/TFV, that's right, two meals free just for going to blueapron.com/TFV.
I'm Matt Rather from the Overthinking It podcast, now at podcastone.com. On Overthinking It, your smart, funny friends from the internet talk about, well, does it really make economic sense for the Death Star to blow up Alderaan?
As Grand Moff Tarkin, you got to ask yourself, is it a debtor planet or is it a creditor planet?
The problem with blackmail is, like, you really need to come in and talk to Bail Organa and say, like, you know, this is a nice planet you've got here. It'd be a shame if someone were to shoot a giant laser into the core and explode it.
Overthinking It. Download it now at podcastone.com.
Yeah. Welcome back.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Okay, what's happening?
Oh, the clicking is what's happening.
We are besieged.
Oh, it's coming.
We are besieged with intermittent clicking here.
Yeah.
And like I said, we are the Apollo 13 re-entering the atmosphere.
I don't love
the
studio
that. Studio's breaking up a little bit.
Studio is breaking up.
This is
up.
Our survival pod.
We made a judgment call. We made an executive decision.
For the first time in film ball history.
You might notice that time is running out on the old podcast there.
I forgot
on your
little, the time's right there in front of them.
You can see.
Speed through this top five.
It's probably only about 2 minutes and 30 seconds left. No, it's not an error on Logan's part. I know that's probably where you immediately went. Well, like, Logan fucked up and didn't put up the entire episode. But no, he put up the entire episode. It's just a short one because we're going to put off the non-vehicular chase scenes to next week because of the clicking.
I know if I was a listener and I was listening to a podcast that was besieged by clicks, I might not finish the episode as much as I liked it or hated it or enjoyed the bald host and hated the angry host.
We keep our streak alive, though. We post something fresh and something new every single week. We never mail it in. We never miss a week.
I went without headphones this week because the clicking started immediately, but Anderson's like, let's just do it.
We should have this fixed, hopefully. And if it's not fixed in here,
we'll have it addressed.
We have very little control. We're not even supposed to be in here, to be honest.
Sub Rosa.
Plus, they're doing a bunch of construction around us, and who knows? But we got to figure out something.
Okay.
All right, the show's going to live. We're going to be okay.
The show will survive. We'll thrive.
Here's what's coming up, though. Next week, non-vehicular chase scenes. Week after that, Oscar Locks.
Ooh.
Week after that, the Vaulties! Oh, the Vaulties are going to be great this year, bro.
Yeah, the Oscars have their little say in who's who gets the awards and all that stuff. And we'll let you know what the real best of these are.
Sorry, guys. We apologize. We're better than this, and we'll come back next week strong with non-vehicular chase scenes.
Anderson was wrong about us being better than this. He's wrong about us coming back strong. Everything else is correct.
You're missing all the clicks. The clicks are actually
click.
Just cutting you out. Hey, we do it for...
No, we're going to gamble.
Go.
We're going to pay off.
I was faking the clicks.
Oh, I see. It's good stuff. Let's pay off the gambling so we can get the fuck out of here and not annoy these people anymore.
Oh, wow. These clicks are so bad.
All right. Last week, he gambled on Project Almanac. At the time, Anderson bid 47, Brian 25, with a Rotten Tomato score of 83%.
Wait, what was it again?
The Rotten Tomato score was 83% last week.
Yeah.
Anderson bid 47 and Brian 25.
47.
Now, currently, the week after release, the Rotten Tomato score for Project Almanac is 35%.
Which means
Brian wins by 2 points.
I won by 2%.
2%.
Oh, yeah. Woo! Anderson.
Fucking Project Almanac. You couldn't
just be 2% better, you fucking piece of shit, Chronicle ripoff. You couldn't be 2% better.
You know what the best part is? You were so excited.
I was. I did hip thrust, and then I heard about the six people that had reviewed it at that point. And I remember being very confused by Agent Logan not understanding how six people reviewing something, yay or nay, couldn't make 83%. That's just
which
not
it could,
possible.
By the way. Which it could.
Math how at 2 in the morning is really
it's
hard.
Divided by 6.
Makes 83?
It does. Well, 83%.
What? 5 divided by 6?
I got more than one tweet about that.
Oh, really?
A very bad math.
Oh, no! Really? I don't look at Twitter. What is tweet? Oh, that is true, I guess. Oh, like 5-6 would be 83. Okay, get back on the mic. What are you doing? I don't need. What are you doing?
He's like the student that packs up before the teacher's
you're giving
done.
Me? Yeah, I know.
You have a choice.
What?
You have a choice.
You are
like
you are these
the
illegal
box trolls?
Are these illegal
like
pirates?
Citizen
Do you go to Chinatown? I'll box troll all day, bitch.
No, not Citizen Four.
No,
not the favorite to win the Oscar.
Negative. Box troll it up. Oh, it broke. Can't see it. Sorry.
No bonuses.
How'd you get that, Brian? This is a new.
Don't tell anyone about it.
A new Brian. Bringing in actual movies.
Bringing in contraband.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, I'll box troll it up.
No more clacks.
All right. Hey, everybody. Thanks for putting up.
Well, we're going to gamble for this week really quick.
Oh, yeah, we got to gamble.
And it's going to be Jupiter Ascending, a new Wachowski Brothers film.
Cannot wait. I think this was on my top 5 summer movies last summer. Top 5 winter movies. If we did spring, it would be there. Oh, stuffy. What else is coming out? There's some good stuff coming up, guys. Hey, you guys see that Black Sea? What do you think of that Black Sea? I like that Black Sea quite a bit.
It was great.
Good movie there, Black Sea. Jude Law. I don't have a number because I don't have a pen.
Here you go.
I'm just gonna type it into my phone here, Bri. Right. What was it we're doing again?
Jupiter Ascending. You must summer movie.
Oh, this is a tough one. This is a tough one. There's got to be big problems with this one, right? Big problems. All right. Oh, Jesus Christ! No.
Maybe they're just making more awesome.
No. That's not right. Wait, you can't erase. Okay, here we go. 53.
50. Ooh, we're close. I said your beloved Mario Lemieux is 66.
66.
See, I think it's going to be a decent movie, but I think the critics are just going to be something about it that they're not going to buy into.
All right, well, currently the week before release with 18 reviews, the Rotten Tomatoes score for Jupiter Ascending is 39%.
Feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty good, but I'm going to restrain myself.
You could be back.
I'm going to show restraint.
You could be back.
All right, we're out of here. Sorry for the clicks. God, this is amateur hour. But you know what? We're in a multi-million-dollar studio with $10 clicks.
10-cent clicks.
10-cent
clicks. Thanks to all the featured artists this week. And AndersonandBrian.com to let us know how bad we fucked up. And the Film Vault on both Facebook and Twitter. Cast your votes again for non-car chase scenes. And sorry for the clicks, you guys.
Hey, guys, if you have a wry sense of humor like me, though, and you like dark, fucked up twisted tales, look for that Maps to the Stars coming out probably in a couple weeks.
Excited.
Limited, but look for it. Keep that on your radar. And like we do every week, Brian, clicks or not, we do it for Van Gogh. Brian.
True Car.
Everyone's talking about True Car.
When you're ready to buy a car, True Car is changing car buying forever.
Yeah, True Car helps car buyers get rid of the fear they might overpay, which everybody has when you walk into a lot.
It's the worst. Every day, True Car users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings, and True Car users save an average of, get this, $3,221 off MSRP.
So when you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, you got to download that True Car mobile app.
Mm-hmm. TrueCar.com, that's where you go.
Or you can go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car that you want. Then you register to set up front pricing information and lock in those savings.
Third step, simple. Take your guaranteed savings certificate to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. With TrueCar, you can save time, save money, and never overpay.
To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today.